Right, good morning, everyone. I trust everyone is able to join and perhaps can adjust your sound at this point in time as we get started this morning. I just have a few announcements I want to make, and then we'll have a short time of prayer. I've asked several brethren to pray, and then Josh will be bringing the message to us this morning. So just by way of a few announcements, just want to thank you again for joining our meeting this morning, and might want to remind anyone who's joining by phone, you might want to mute your phone at this time. We don't know how long, obviously, we'll be meeting like this, so we'll kind of be going week by week according to the mandate of our state and how things are going. But with that having been said, next week, we would like to try having a virtual breaking of bread meeting. We realize we're not physically able to meet together to do this, but we believe we can remember the Lord and honor him together in this way. So the format will be very similar to what we normally do. Men can read a portion of scripture, comment on it, and pray. We'll not be able to sing hymns together, but certainly a hymn or a portion of a hymn can be read. And then at the appropriate time, we'll give thanks for the bread and partake, and likewise with the cup. So we would ask next week, as you might prepare yourselves by having bread and grape juice or similar, and to have them in your presence. So we will be trying that next week. We'll be starting that meeting at 9:15. Secondly, this coming Wednesday, we'll also have our prayer meeting online, as we did last week. That'll be beginning at 7 p.m., like it did last week. Try to view on your computer if you can for that meeting. We'll attempt to have the prayer requests so that they can be viewed on the screen. So if you're able to join by computer, that would be the best. And also, for our prayer meeting upcoming this Wednesday, you can look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and then chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. We'll have about 10 or 15 minutes of devotional thought, then we'll have some prayer requests to be given, and then we'll pray like we did this past Wednesday. A third announcement we have is that the men's challenge breakfast is scheduled for this coming Saturday. So we would like to try to do that virtually as well. So that'll be beginning at 8 o'clock and going through 9 o'clock, just 1 hour beginning at 8 o'clock. We'll follow the same basic format that we have in our other breakfasts that we have had. So you'll be receiving an email with a Word document attached that has some questions to be thinking about to guide our discussion, similar to what we have done in our past meetings. We will be using this WebEx platform that we're using right now, so you'll be able to join the men's breakfast next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, again, by going to our website and joining that way. And if you could join that about 15 minutes early or so, 10 minutes, that would be good so we can get everything arranged. We do have one prayer request from Rob and Susie Sullivan. They are up in Yonkers, New York, and they ask prayer for an elderly brother in their meeting. His name is Rigoberto, who contracted the coronavirus and is in the ICU. This was as of Friday. We haven't received an update. He's in his 70s. You can also pray for his wife and grandson who are living in the same house with him. So that's a prayer request that we could pray for and think about this morning. I have asked Cameron and Jean and Kevin if they would pray. And then following their time of prayer, we'll turn it over to Josh for the message this morning. So one of you brethren can pray at this time.
All right, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can come to you. We pray for our country right now, who's worried about this virus, and we just pray for a peace among ourselves and pray that we would be a witness to others. But Lord, we want to remember you and at this time and think of all that you've done for us, and we're just thankful for the many blessings that you bring to us and to our families and to our chapel. We're thankful that we can have a peace and know that no matter what word happened to us on this earth, that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins, and that no matter what we can say to ourselves, that eventually we will live with you for eternity in heaven. And so we have no fear of death, really, because we know eventually we will be eternally with you, and we're thankful for that. We pray for our country, pray for our leaders. We're thankful for the little bits of Christian testimony we hear from Mr. Pence, and from we just pray for our president and pray that he would lead us through these times. Pray that the people be responsive and come together. Pray for unity in our country. We pray for unity in our chapel, Lord. We pray that we would just learn to love one another and speak of one another kindly, and to lift each other's up and to encourage one another. We pray, Lord, that we would be an example to the world out there. We pray that we wouldn't be the first ones in line rushing for supplies, and pray, Lord, that maybe we would be the ones to let somebody in front of us, or just to comfort somebody when they're telling you a story of scared or how they are, and pray that we would use these opportunities, Lord, to be a witness and to just show Christ in us. And so we just pray for these things. We pray for this morning, the meeting this morning. We pray that you would give Josh the words to say. Just pray that we would listen and be attentive and focus on you. We're thankful that we can come together through technology. It's fun, and we're just thankful for these things that we can do to get together and to remember you. And so we just pray for this the rest of this morning, and just bless us and watch us in our activities. And Lord, we want to especially remember Bonnie Callahan, and we just pray for her, and as she thinks of her loss, and we just pray that you would comfort her and Jack, little Jack, and just pray that you would be with them, Lord, during this time of uncertainties. And so our heart is with them, Lord, or with Bonnie and Jack. So just bless us throughout this day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our God and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the hope that we have in him. That when we're in a world that has such chaos, such turmoil in it, we have one who is our rock, who is our foundation, who is our strong tower, and that we can depend upon him, that we can lean upon him. We thank you for the hope that we have of eternal life, and for the blessing that is in the midst of such trials. And so we just come to you in appreciation for who he is and what he's done and what he's accomplished. Lord, we again just echo our amen to the things that Gene's mentioned. And Lord, we do lift up the assembly to you. We pray for the saints that you would continue to guard and protect us and keep us. And Lord, we pray for those who are in the medical field, even within our assembly, but even those around the world that take on such responsibility in this trial. And so we just ask for your care over Chuck, Preston, and Sydney, and Dean, and Bobby, and many others. And Lord, we just thank you for their efforts, and Lord, pray that you would continue to strengthen them, help them, protect them. Lord, we do pray for this country and for its leaders and the leaders around the world that are dealing with these crises. And so we pray that through this, it might cause them to see their need for dependence upon you and recognizing that in themselves they can't do it. And so we pray that even through these circumstances, each of us would learn a little bit more of just how dependent we are upon you and our need for you, and that our love for you would grow. And Lord, we pray for that peace, that comfort that only you can provide. And so we pray that you would come alongside all those that are anxious and fearful and help each one of us in those things. We just commit this time now to you, pray for Josh and ask for your blessing upon the word that you've given him, and prepare our hearts for it, and Lord, use it to strengthen us and make us more and more like the Lord Jesus. In his worthy and precious name we pray.
Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we just come to you today and thanks first and foremost. We thank you for the love that you shared with us on the cross, and that we know that because of that, during this time of struggle and scare that the world has, that we can be at peace because we know that through your Son, we know where we're going to be. We know that it's all predestined and that you have bigger plans for us and that you are guiding us through this. We ask that you just be with Josh and that you might give him the words to speak, and that our hearts and minds be open and receptive to those words, and that we just might not only receive those words, but that we might retain them and apply them in our daily lives. We just ask that you're with all the elderly and ill in the assembly, that you might just put them at ease and give the doctors the right knowledge and wisdom to care for them as they have, and that they might continue to do so. We just, again, thank you for the opportunity to be here with one another, to continue in the fellowship and continue in your word. Even though we are not physically in the building, we know that the actual building does not make up the church, but it's the people, and that even though we're not physically next to one another, that we are together listening to your word and with you. And all these things we just ask and pray. Amen.
Well, I will add my amen to those prayers. Gene, Kevin, Cameron, I appreciate very much hearing you pray. And even though we're not together, it is great to be able to talk to our Heavenly Father as one. As we get started, I'd like to take just one more moment to commit our time to the Lord. So bow with me if you would. Father, we just want to come to you and thank you for a chance to open your word this morning. Father, as we look at some of the thoughts that are there, I pray that you will guide my words and help me to say only those things that you would have me to say. I pray that you would overrule in any technical glitches and remove that as a distraction for us so that we can focus on the encouragement that you offer through your word. Thank you most of all for your love for us. And thank you that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is a verse that I have come to love very much in really over the past year, and it's Proverbs 16:9. You don't need to turn there. I'll just say it for you. It says, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And this verse is such a profound reminder that we can think we have firm plans. We can think things are under control, but the Lord is the one that directs what actually happens. You know, this applies to so many areas of our life. We have plans, we have assumptions of what will be normal, but we can easily find ourselves in a situation that we didn't expect. And that's really what's happening right now all around us. We find ourselves in the midst of a situation that, I don't know about you, but I didn't expect to be the way that it is. I'm reminded almost daily that it's very likely that tomorrow is going to be very different than today. You know, a month ago, we were all sitting together in the chapel building, not doing a whole lot of thinking about the coronavirus and what would take place. But so much has changed in that month of time. So right now, many things are going to be different tomorrow than they are today. Just a couple examples of things that we've been hearing about or involved with just in our small circle of friends and acquaintances. We have a good friend who had a good job prior to coronavirus, and then one day late last week found himself unemployed. We know of a family who has had a teenage daughter, and they've lost her suddenly. We know friends whose church has lost an elder to coronavirus. We have friends in Ohio who texted yesterday and shared that their sister-in-law passed away from coronavirus overnight. In our own chapel, things have changed this week as we know that Jack Callahan went home to be with the Lord overnight. Maybe you know people in similar situations. Maybe you are facing some of these things yourself. Maybe you're experiencing something different or maybe even unrelated to coronavirus, but you're in a situation that you don't know how it will turn out. It's times like these that it's really helpful to look to God's word for our source of security. There's a psalm that our family has been enjoying over recent months. It offers a lot of encouragement about our source of security. Some even call it the Psalm of Trust. So this morning, I'd like to spend some time focusing on Psalm 91. Now, the reason that this psalm came to mind is because it's one that Jace has been working on memorizing with his class in school over the course of the school year. They learn a couple verses at a time and eventually try to put the whole psalm together as committed to memory. It really has come alive for Jace because it's a psalm that is obviously very precious to his teacher. She shared a lot of personal examples of how she's seen the psalm hold true in her life and felt God's hand of protection and security. And I was thinking that after this coronavirus experience is over, it's very likely that we will each have a personal story that relates to this psalm. But anyway, I have asked Jace if he would tag team with me a bit this morning and come in and recite to you or maybe read portions of Psalm 91. If you'd like to follow along, he is using the New King James Version. See yourself.
See. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Thank you. before we delve into unpacking some of what's included in that psalm, I'd like to read just a real quick story. When I looked up this psalm in the Believer's Bible Commentary, hopefully you can see that. I'm sure this is a book that many of you have on your shelves. It's written by a gentleman named William MacDonald. There's a story at the beginning of the entry for Psalm 91, and it goes like this. In 1922, in the Western Hebrides, and in case you don't know where those are, apparently they are islands off the coast of Scotland. I had to look that up. Anyway, 1922, in the Western Hebrides, a 5-year-old boy was dying of diphtheria. A mucous membrane was forming across his throat. Breathing was becoming increasingly difficult. His Christian mother turned her back so she would not see him take his last breath. At that very moment, there was a knock at the door. It was her brother-in-law from an adjoining village. He said, "I've just come to tell you that you don't have to worry about the child. He is going to recover. One day, God is going to save his soul." She was distracted and incredulous. "Whatever makes you say that?" Then he explained that he'd been sitting at his fire reading Psalm 91 when God distinctly spoke to him through the last 3 verses. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." The story goes on then, and again, this is William MacDonald writing, and he says, "I was that boy. God delivered me from death that night. He saved my soul 13 years later, and he has satisfied me with long life." So you will understand why I refer to Psalm 91 as my psalm. I usually add, tongue-in-cheek, that I am willing to share it with others, but it is definitely my psalm. I thought it was neat that there is a personal story about how that psalm has held true in the life of a well-known commentator, and quite frankly, the thoughts that he shares in his book about Psalm 91 are part of what I hope to share with you this morning. So let's spend a little bit of time looking into this, and before I get started, for those of you who are watching, I'm going to share part of my screen so that you can just help keep track of some of these points. All right. Hopefully you can see on your computer screen now a slide that says Psalm 91. I think this will be a helpful addition to us, but I will also do my best to make sure I share everything verbally for those of you who are listening on the phone. All right. So there are 3 main sections that I'd like to focus on in Psalm 91. And this might be a helpful outline for you if you are, if you think the way that I do and like to organize your where you're headed. Verses 1 and 2 talk a little bit about God's character. So we'll spend some time there. Verses 3 through 13 talk about God's protection. And verses 14 through 16 share some amazing promises from God. So we'll get started just by looking at the very beginning, verses 1 and 2. The first point that I want to make, it says here very clearly, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty." So right from the first phrase, this psalm is applying to people who have placed their faith and trust in Christ and have God as their Father. And it's important for us to recognize that. We'll touch on it a little bit later as we get further along into the psalm. But then in verses 1 and 2, we see the Lord referred to in 4 different ways. You should see on your slide character of God, and I want to focus a little bit on how that's described here. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." So that's the first name that we see for God included in this psalm. Further on in that verse, it says, that person will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So the Almighty is the second name of God that we see here. says, I will say of the Lord, name number 3, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, name number 4, in him I will trust. So as we think about God's character described in these 4 different ways, it really is an encouragement to us that he is able to provide protection and keep his promises. The Most High obviously carries with it the idea that he is higher or above any other king, God, or person of power. So this is an emphasis, really, that there's nothing that can happen that can overpower our God. He is the Most High. The Almighty. He is all-sufficient and adequate for every situation. There's nothing that he doesn't have ability to handle. I think it's interesting here, too, to pause, where it talks about dwelling in the shadow. Thinking about when a psalm would have been written, would have been in a part of the world where the sun really is something that could be oppressive or even dangerous. And so a shadow is very much a metaphor for protection. And as we go through this psalm, you'll see metaphors pop up a couple of other times, but just want to kind of take that aside here and make that point. A shadow is protection from the Almighty, who is sufficient and fully adequate for any situation. Next, it says the Lord, and this is the Lord Jehovah. And as you know or have heard, I'm sure, before, this is the name of God that talks about his ability to make covenants and also be faithful to keep his promises. So now we see that God's character is most high above all others. He is almighty, fully adequate for every situation, and he is Lord Jehovah, the one who can make covenants and be faithful to keep them. The last one here, then, the reference to my God, this is the word or name of God, Elohim. He is powerful. He has greatness and glory beyond what we can understand. So as you get started here at the beginning of this psalm, immediately, 4 descriptions of God's character that help us understand his ability to really oversee and handle any situation. So I mentioned then that the next section, verses 3 through 13, talks about different types of God's protection. There are a lot of different ways you could think about these verses, and perhaps even a couple different ways you could interpret them. As I mentioned, metaphors are a part of this psalm. But I have seen 9 ideas here that I think are an encouragement for us to recognize. Verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. So this really carries the idea, again, of a metaphor, a hidden danger. So I've called this first one safety from hidden danger. This is applicable in our lives even without the coronavirus being something that we're facing. Hidden danger comes all the time, I think probably most frequently in terms of Satan and his activity. So safety from hidden danger is an encouragement. The next one that I want to point out is also part of that verse. It says, and from the perilous pestilence. So this is the second part of verse 3, perilous pestilence. So the idea here, I did some research, really is protection from something that has the force to affect everyone that's in its path. And then pestilence, of course, does carry the idea of disease. So this is significantly applicable to where we are right now with coronavirus. God offers protection from disease. Looking at verse 4, it says, he will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings, you shall take refuge. The idea here is again, a metaphor, and it's a neat picture. If you think about in the animal world, birds, and how mother birds protect their young, they use the resource that they have, their wings, to their fullest capacity to spread them and provide protection for their young. And that's the same kind of protection that God is offering us. And when we think back to what we noticed at the very beginning of this psalm, God's character, his ability to handle any situation, fully adequate, all-powerful, most high, he's using all of that to spread over us and protect us. And so I really like the word picture here when you pause to think about that, the shelter and the refuge that is part of the protection God provides. Verse 4 is interesting. It says, "He shall overcome you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." So we talked about the first part, and then the second part, "His truth shall be your shield and buckler." I've called this one strength through the faithfulness of God. You know, if you think about his truth, it really is foundational for us. We build our lives on his truth and relying on him. And then the fact that he provides a shield and a fortress, which is another word for buckler on top of that, is kind of like an amazing added bonus is how I'm thinking about it. So we have strength available to us through the faithfulness of God. Moving into verses 5 and 6, it says, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." In some of the research I did, I learned that the Hebrew day tended to be thought about in four different six-hour blocks of time. And so nighttime represented 6 p.m. to midnight, daytime was 6 a.m. to noon, darkness was midnight to 6 a.m., and noonday was noon to 6 p.m. And so really the idea here is that God is providing constant protection. He made a point to mention, or I should say the author of the psalm made a point to mention the four different periods of every day, helping us understand that protection is constant. I also think it's worth noting the different types of things that are described that we are protected from. And again, if you think about this metaphorically, the idea is not necessarily those specific things like arrows, though it could be, but I think these verses carry the idea that in addition to God's protection being constant, it covers all dangers and in all circumstances. So I like these verses again because in God we are secure at all times, in all dangers, and in all circumstances. You know, that type of protection really offers peace, doesn't it? That's something that is an encouragement for us now. Verse 7 talks about safety in the midst of war. This psalm was very likely written in a war time, and so obviously we know that God has the power to protect his people when needed. Verses 8 through 10, I'm calling this insurance, and it's kind of interesting, but let's read the verses together. "Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you." So I call this insurance because in verse 8, it starts out and it says, "Only with your eyes shall you look." And this is an interesting one to think about because really what I believe it's saying is that no matter what's happening, the believer knows with security that they are just a spectator unless God plans otherwise. Nothing can happen to us that God does not allow. And so we have the insurance really, that we are watching with our eyes, as opposed to experiencing, unless, of course, God's plan is different for a specific reason. Verses 11 and 12 talk about an angel army, and what an amazing type of protection that is. I think it's something that, as believers, we tend to take for granted, but there are angels that are helping with our protection throughout life, helping us walk through life. And then verse 13, I've called this one victory over a deadly attack. So it mentions here, obviously, wild animals. "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." Freedom from a deadly attack. Again, I think there are metaphors here in this verse. But also, we know that the serpent is a reference to Satan. And so I think that this verse always also carries the idea of protection from Satan as something that God offers us. So again, 9 different types of protection here that truly are an encouragement as we think about living life in this world, but knowing that we have God on our side as our Father. Moving into the third section of the psalm then, verses 14 through 16, God makes a number of promises here. I've taken a little bit of liberty to add the words "I will" in front of each because I think that makes sense based on how they're written here. But let's read the verses together and then we'll recognize specifically these different promises that are made. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So again, I want to make the point, the first phrase in this verse says, because he has set his love upon me. So I mentioned at the beginning, the psalm starts out, he who dwells. So our responsibility in this equation of having protection from God and being able to claim his promises is to place our faith and trust fully in him. And we know that that is possible only through and because of the work that Christ did on the cross, giving his life to pay the price for our sins. When we place our trust in him, this psalm applies. We've chosen to dwell and we have set our love upon him. And then there are these eight promises which offer pretty amazing encouragement for us. It says, I will rescue him or provide escape. I will set him in a high place or protect him. I will answer him. Respond to him. I will be with him in trouble or be present when things aren't going well. I will deliver him or carries the idea of bring him to safety. I will honor him, the idea of make him rich and strong. I will satisfy him with long life and I will show him my salvation. I call that one full victory. And the idea of long life and full victory in my mind go really well together. And it reminds me of one of the things that Gene mentioned in his prayer, regardless of what happens to a believer here on earth, we know that our future eternity is secure and that that time will be spent living in heaven forever with the Lord. And that is one of the most amazing encouragements that we can focus on. And it's mentioned here very clearly at the end of this psalm. Before we step aside from thinking specifically about the psalm in this text, I want to make one more point. Some psalms are written in such a way that they're really looking forward to Christ as the Messiah. And so this psalm is often thought of as a messianic psalm. And that means that really you can see the words of the psalm or the prophecies, if you will, fulfilled in the life of Christ. So if you think about this psalm and think specifically of the part where angels are protecting, you see that fulfilled in the life of Christ when Satan was tempting him. And I bring that up not to say that the psalm doesn't apply to us. I believe that it does as believers. But it also helps us understand a really important point. It's possible to read a psalm like this and think, well, if God offers all this protection and all these promises, why do bad things happen? Why are bad things happening to believers? So recognizing this as a messianic psalm brings this idea home that just because we're under God's protection doesn't mean bad things will never happen. You know, Jesus ultimately died an agonizing and a painful death. He also experienced mistreatment during his life. But the key is these difficulties, or ultimately his death, were things that God allowed because they were part of his will and part of his plan. And the same is true in our lives also. God's protection and promises don't mean that we won't experience difficulty. In fact, the psalm itself points that out because it says, I will be with him in a time of trouble. But they do mean that when we are living within the shadow of the Almighty and we are dwelling in him, nothing can happen that isn't for a reason that he allows in his time. So anytime we think about a passage of scripture, it's always helpful for me at least to step back and say, what does this mean in my life? How does this apply to me right now? And, you know, I have been incredibly humbled since this coronavirus experience started to realize that I am not in control. I think that I am. I think that if I work hard, I think that if I make informed decisions, I think that if I plan ahead, my life will keep going and going smoothly. But you know, God has sent me, maybe He sent you, He sent our state, He sent our country, and honestly, He sent the whole world a very clear reminder that He is in complete control. You know, if we're honest, and I'm willing to be honest with you this morning, that there are times where I think about the coronavirus and all that it could cause, and it is scary. You know, we think about, well, what happens if a member of my family is sick? What happens if my employer decides they can't afford to pay my salary anymore? There are a lot of things that we can feel concerned about and worry about related to where we are right now. Maybe your list of concerns is different than mine. Maybe you are experiencing one significantly now. But the questions we can ask ourselves are a few. I believe this psalm pointed them out well. Do we dwell in Him? Verse 1 starts out, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Have we chosen to dwell in Him? And then verse 14, do we love Him? So those are our opportunities to really take advantage of a relationship with God as our Father. Then we can claim His protection, His promises, His sovereign plan. And that provides a significant amount of peace without worry. So if you are following along and watching on the screen, I have one more to share with you because I want to give us some key takeaways that are easy to remember and think about. For those of you listening on the phone, the key takeaways are these. Number one, God is in complete control. Nothing happens to His children that He doesn't allow at a specific time for a specific reason. So God is in complete control. Number two, God's protection plus God's promises equals security. As believers in the midst of uncertainty, especially in a time like this, we can trust. The safest place is dwelling in Him. He is our security, and God will protect, and He promises hope for our future. Grace and I had a chance to talk with Bonnie this week, and obviously this has been a difficult and a sad week for she and Jack in many ways, but she shared something with us that was extraordinarily encouraging, and I'd like to pass it along to you this morning. After Big Jack had died, young Jack and she were grieving together, and he said to her, "Nan, we know that when God allows something bad to happen, it's for a reason, and we're just going to hang on to that." I'll say it one more time because it's profound and it's so encouraging. Nan, we know that when God allows something bad to happen, it's for a reason, and we're just going to hang on to that. And that thought that Jack shared with Bonnie this week goes along so well with how this psalm has encouraged me. So I hope it's also an encouragement to you and that we can together focus on the fact that God is in complete control and that God's protection plus God's promises equals security. There's a song that's been running through my head. The title of the song is "I Know Who Holds Tomorrow." And the chorus goes like this. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. We can rest today in the security that God provides as our Father, fully able and adequate to meet any need. I'm going to close in prayer and then just hang on line for a minute for a couple more announcements before we sign off. Father, I just want to thank You for a chance to look into Psalm 91 today. Thank You for the encouragement that it offers to us. And I pray that You would help these truths to really be real in our lives. And as has already been prayed, I pray that You will help us also to be strong witnesses and testimonies for You by allowing those around us to see evidence in our lives that we trust You fully and that our protection comes from you and your promises. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Josh, for some wonderful thoughts on a tremendous psalm. And may we use this week maybe to go over those points and be encouraged in the Lord and what he has, what he does for us, and be encouraged through his word, how he has given us his word to look at and to meditate on, and certainly in times like these, to really receive some tremendous encouragement. So thank you again for your message this morning. Just want to briefly highlight the announcements I made earlier. I mentioned next Sunday morning, we would like to try a virtual breaking of bread, and that'll begin at 9:15. So you join the meeting at 9:15. We'll give some instructions as we begin, and we'll try that. So pray that the Lord would be honored through our time in trying that. Secondly, this coming Wednesday, again, we'll have a prayer meeting online, and be looking at Colossians 1:1-8, and then chapter 4, verses 12-13. And again, try to view that on your computer if you can. We'll attempt to have the prayer requests up that they can be seen. And then on Saturday, we're going to try to have our men's challenge breakfast online. That'll begin at 8 p.m. and be looking for a Word document that'll be sent out by Josiah or Thaddeus with some questions that can guide our discussion. So be looking for that. All right, I've asked Chuck if he would close our meeting now in prayer, and Chuck will turn it over to you.
Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this tremendous psalm that we've had the opportunity to consider this morning. I would particularly mention that statement that you have set our feet on a high place. And we recognize that that high place, that rock, is the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have a firm foundation so that when the storms of life come, no matter what they are, even if we have a tendency to be fearful, we can always remember that you are reliable, that you are strong, and that you will protect us. And so, Lord, we just pray that throughout this coming week, we would consider all that we've heard this morning. We do pray for those who are hurting today. We would think particularly of Bonnie and Jack. And Lord, we just pray that you would be especially close to them. We do also pray for those who were affected by this recent pandemic, that you would protect them. But Lord, for each one of us this morning, we pray that you would also give us the security in knowing that our future is secure because we know the one who holds tomorrow. And so Lord, we pray that you'd part us with your blessing. We pray that all that we say and do this week would be honoring and glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we might be a witness for you, and that we might shine a light in a very dark place. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.